بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: الله نور السماوات والأرض، مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح، المصباح في زجاجة، الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار، نور على نور، نور على نور، يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس، والله بكل شيء عليم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Him, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, salawatu Rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. If I may pause and ask the Muazzin to increase the volume a bit, please, yeah? Jazakumullah khair. To proceed, I would like to firstly advise myself, and then all of you all present here, to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of our Maker during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, just a few days back, to be precise, on the eve of the 14th of November this month, we witnessed a super moon. A super moon was witnessed across many parts of the world. A super moon so close that people who study the moon, the skies, and the heavens have stated, I mean, scientists and astrologers, that this kind of a supermoon was last witnessed in the year 1948, approximately. It was a beautiful phenomenon, a beautiful spectacle. The moon in all its glory, in all its beauty. There were many pictures floating across social media. And even for those of us who may have not witnessed it live, I'm sure many of us will have witnessed it online, where we have seen pictures. There were pictures all over the place, mashallah, in the lands of Arabia, in Dubai, in Medina, in many places where the super moon was witnessed in all of its glory. Now, as we were witnessing this moon, as believers, it is important to understand that there are lessons to be deduced and derived. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. We were all inspired, we were all amazed, we were enthralled as we gazed at this beautiful spectacle, this beautiful moon in all its glory, so huge, so big, so clear, so bright, so radiant. And then Allah says in the Quran, that inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar, and the transitioning of the day and the night, there are signs, la ayat, there are signs, there are evidences, there are proofs. For whom? لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for those of intellect, for a people of intellect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. And may He make us of those who ponder upon His signs. Ameen. So it is upon us to look at this beautiful sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this beautiful creation, and deduce lessons. We need to connect ourselves to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to connect ourselves to the Maker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshaAllah ta'ala, the title for today's sermon is With the Moon. With the Moon, and I hope to discuss narrations that talk about the moon, that describe the moon, and inshaAllah we will deduce a few lessons as well, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I would like to focus on the moon from three angles, if you will, or upon three facets of the moon. Number one, the beauty of the moon. Number two, in terms of the clarity of the moon. And number three, in terms of the luminosity of the moon. So we have three facets to discuss: beauty, clarity, and luminosity. Let's start off with beauty. In terms of beauty, as we were gazing at the moon, and even those of us from Sri Lanka, we did witness the moon. I think it was the morning of the 15th of November, the moon was bigger than usual. Maybe we did not get to witness it like the pictures on social media, but still, it was bigger than the norm. It was more in clarity, it was radiant, and it was a beautiful and mesmerizing sight. And this is the case with the moon. Its beauty leaves us speechless. And its beauty is a soothing and calm beauty, unlike the glory and the power of the sun. Now, the sun is blazing upon us. Now, no one would technically go out and say, ah, what a beautiful sun, and keep staring at the sun, because it's a difficult and daunting task to do. It's not easy to stare at the sun, because it's such a bright and powerful light that the sun emits. But on the other hand, the moon, it is beautiful, it is cool, it is soothing and calm as we stare at the moon. So no wonder at all that the companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, the Sahaba, they used to frequently describe Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi as being more beautiful than the moon. They used to compare the moon with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and come to a very quick and swift conclusion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in all his glory, in his handsomeness, was more handsome, was more beautiful than the moon. We have a hadith. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he narrates that one night, it was a night where it was a full moon night. The night perhaps on the 14th or 15th, if you will. And he was outside, and there was a moment of contemplation for Jabir radiallahu anhu. And I want you all to pay an attentive ear as he looks at the full moon. And now I want you all to put yourselves, because this is the whole point. When we discuss the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not like reading some other book. You need to put yourselves in the shoes of the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. I want each and every one of you to put yourselves in the shoes of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Jabir radiallahu anhu. And now he's narrating the hadith. He's in the middle of a desert, and that's one of the reasons why the moon was such a mesmerizing sight for them. Because when you look at the plains of the desert, I mean, just Google. Go after the khutbah, inshallah. Google moon. Just put the keywords as moon desert, if you will, wallpaper. And look at the beautiful scenes that they may have captured. Because the desert, the night scene of the desert is so tranquil, is so calm, it's so mesmerizing as you see the dunes of sand, you know, making its way across the picture, across the landscape. And then to see the moon in all its glory shining down, such a beautiful sight. So Jabir radiallahu anhu, he's looking at the moon now. It's a night where the moon is in all its glory. And now he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. How I envy Jabir radiallahu anhu. Look at what a beautiful composition. Just imagine if you had a DSLR at that time to take a picture. Just think of it. Jabir radiallahu anhu, his eyes are the two DSLRs. And he is describing that particular composition in that hadith of his. He's saying, I looked at the moon and I looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm looking at the moon, looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm looking at the moon, I'm looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the narration goes along the lines of these words. He goes on to say, by Allah, I found that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more radiant, is more beautiful, is more handsome than the moon for me. Allahu Akbar. That was the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you go through the Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, where he mentions many narrations that describe the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the physical attributes of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, you can talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of his physical attributes and you can be blown away. You can describe him through his character, through his habits, through his manners, through his mannerisms, through his attitude, through the way he behaves with people, and you can be blown away. Now let's talk about the physical attributes, in that there are many narrations in the Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. Like say for example, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he makes mention, and the narration goes along the lines of these words, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blemish free. And the whole point of mentioning these narrations, my dear brothers in Islam, is because we all claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we love an individual, we love to think of that individual. We love to imagine that individual. So the more you know about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you have this pen picture that your mind draws of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it brings in so much of love towards him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he makes mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blemish free. His skin, his complexion was blemish free. He was so perfect in that sense. And he goes on to say that it was almost as if he was molded out of silver. It was as if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was molded out of silver. He was so beautiful, so blemish free. When you would look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at times when you look at us, when you look at our faces, we've got marks all over. When you look at our complexion, we don't look like we've been molded out of silver. Just think of a person being molded out of silver, blemish free. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then the hadith where Jabir radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beautiful than the full moon on that particular night. And there were many other companions too who compared the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as such and came to the same conclusion. Bara radiallahu anhu, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. There are many narrations. For example, there's another narration where another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was wearing a red striped clothing. In general, he would not wear clothing that consisted of only the color red. But this clothing had red stripes on it. So we can come to a conclusion that the minority of that garment was, or a small portion of it was in red. So this companion looks at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was wearing this garment and he looked so handsome. Again, he's comparing him to the moon. He's comparing him to the moon and he comes to a quick conclusion that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more handsome, more beautiful than the full moon that night. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an individual. As per other narrations, he was an individual who would walk very fast. In the sense, the companions would be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and suddenly he would be at another location. And it didn't, you know, mean that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would generally walk hastily. He would walk at a normal pace, but his strides were long and therefore he would walk very fast. It would seem as if he was walking fast. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would become angry, it was easily visible. There were three signs that the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in had made note of. And from this we understand that they were very observant individuals and they were very careful not to anger Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the three signs are that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would become angry, there was a vein. A vein, you know, the veins that we have where blood travels through, that used to travel between the two eyebrows of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That particular vein would start to throb. It would start to bulge and throb when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become displeased at something. And in general, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not lose his temper. He was an individual who had very good control of his anger and his temper, of his temperament in a holistic sense. But if there was something that was going against the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would yes become displeased. He would become angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Sahaba would easily be able to identify that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now displeased. The first sign is that a particular vein would bulge. The second sign is that the cheeks, the blessed cheeks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go crimson or red in color. His cheeks, because he was of a very fair complexion with a reddish tinge to it, his cheeks would go red in color. And the third sign where the Sahaba would understand that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was displeased in regard to something was that he would get up, and when leaving, he would have an upper garment, if you will, a cloak that he would drape around himself. That particular cloak would drag on the ground as he hastily made his way. From these three signs, the Sahaba would understand that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was displeased, and they would identify the cause of his displeasure and make swift amendments in regard to, you know, removing, or at least, you know, in terms of bringing about a remedy to solve the issue. This was the Sahaba anyway. They were always striving for the pleasure of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a particular report that is recorded in certain books where it is said that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, a prophet of Allah, he was given nisful jamal. He was given half of beauty. If you were to take beauty in its entirety, we've all been given portions of beauty, and that's why we are beautiful creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was given 50%, half of beauty. Allahu Akbar. And no wonder he was such a handsome individual, a handsome prophet of Allah. And it is also been said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given beauty in its entirety. In the sense, 100% of it was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when this report was mentioned, there were certain students of knowledge who questioned their shaykh, who questioned their teacher, that we have the story that has been mentioned in the Quran where women were engrossed in the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that it became a trial, a fitna for them. We have the story of the lady of the house trying to seduce Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and when her attempt was foiled, gossip and rumors started to spread across the city because she was the wife of a very noble individual. She wanted to prove something to all her friends. What does she do? She invites them over to her house for a feast, a banquet. She gives them food, and they've got their cutlery, and they're cutting the food away, meat or the fruits or whatever it is, into tiny little cubes to consume them. And then she commands Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to cross past. It's in the Quran. And as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was crossing past, these ladies, the ladies who were looking at her, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, was so enthralled by the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that they, instead of cutting up the meat, instead of cutting up the food on their plates, they started to cut their fingers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they, at that point, went on to say, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. This person is not a human being. He is a noble angel because he was so handsome, so beautiful. So these students went on to ask their sheikh that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been given 100% of beauty, how come we don't have any incidents? How come we don't have any narrations to the effect or to state that women during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were tempted or were enthralled by the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then the scholar goes on to explain that particular incident took place when Yusuf alayhi wasalam was very young. That's one explanation. And number two, there's a stark difference between the handsomeness, between the beauty of Yusuf alayhi wasalam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, yes, 100% was given to him, and there was this mixture of haiba, of glory, of respect, of awe, where you don't look at him and lust behind him, because when you look at him, you are enthralled by his beauty, but your heart is also gripped with utmost respect towards him, with awe towards him, where you feel the magnanimity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And this was the stark difference between the beauty and the handsomeness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and the handsomeness of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, may my mother, my father and myself be ransomed and sacrificed for him sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Now swiftly moving on to the second facet of the moon, and that I mentioned was in terms of the clarity of the moon. Now when the super moon took place, whenever anybody would come out and look up to the heavens, they were able to witness the moon in all its glory. Likewise, many, many moons ago, many, many years ago, on a similar night, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he comes out with the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. He looks up at the moon, he looks at them and he says, and the narration goes along the lines of these words of Kamaqala alayhi salatu wasalam, just as you can see the moon now, you will see Allah in the next world. Just as you can see the moon now, you will see Allah in the next world. According to another narration, some of them asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to whether there'll be a difficulty, because there'll be so many people, so many dwellers of Jannah. If all of the Ahlul Jannah were to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they thought that there would perhaps be a bottleneck. Just imagine if you were to all look towards someone, it would be at times cumbersome, it would be difficult. And they imagined, or they thought that there would be a bottleneck, people would be crowding to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to clarify, do people crowd? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah is above all these examples. And this is an example put forth by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put our minds at ease and to clarify things for our weak minds to perceive. He asked the Sahaba, do you find it difficult to see the moon? Do people crowd to see the moon? When the moon shines and when the moon comes about, all you have to do is go out. You can be in any part of the world. All you have to do is go out and you can witness the moon. For example, when the moon arises in a path or in a upon a particular village, upon a particular city, a locality, the people of the village, the people of the locality, all they have to do is go out and look up at the heavens and they will be able to witness the moon. Likewise, the dwellers of Jannah will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, in this world, we are not able to witness Allah. Ihsan, the concept of ihsan, is أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. It is to worship Allah as if you can see Allah. But can we see Allah? We cannot see Allah. It is to worship Allah as if you can see Allah, but you cannot see Allah. But know that even though you cannot see Allah, Allah sees you. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the concept of ihsan. But in the hereafter, in al-akhirah, we will be able to witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal grant us all the sight, the opportunity to look and gaze at Him. Ameen. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he makes mention in his book, Hadi al-Arwah ila Bilad al-Afrah, an amazing read, an amazing book, in that he talks about a day known as Yawm al-Mazid. A day known as Yawm al-Mazid, otherwise translated as the day of increase. And this particular description, if you will, is based on different ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has gathered this particular description from different ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He describes Jannah, he describes paradise, and then he goes on to Yawm al-Mazid. And let me tell you all what Yawm al-Mazid is all about. Yawm al-Mazid can be translated as the day of increase. As the day of increase. It will be a day when we will all be in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us, make each and every one of us from the dwellers of Jannah. I mean, we will all be in Jannah. And just imagine, you are in Jannah. You are seated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. We love Him so much. We are emulating Him. When a Friday comes about, what do we do? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We say salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
Why do we send blessings and salutations upon him? Because we love him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Jannah, you are going to be with him. Allahu Akbar. You are going to be with him. You are going to be seated with him. You are going to be seated with the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. And the rivers of Jannah, rivers of milk, rivers of luscious honey, rivers of wine that will not intoxicate you, it will not give you a hangover the next day. Rivers of sweet water, fruits, whatever you wish, whatever you desire. Palaces of gold and silver, palaces of rubies. The soils and the sands of Jannah will be of musk, the roof. Saqful Jannah, the roof of Jannah will be Arshur Rahman, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a beautiful place. Allahu Akbar. We will be enjoying Jannah. And then suddenly, my dear brothers in Islam, a caller will call out. A caller will call out. Ya Ahlal Jannah. Oh, the people of Jannah. Oh, the dwellers of Jannah. And this call will echo throughout paradise, throughout Jannah. And we will all be transfixed. And for the first time, fear will grip our hearts. You know that cold grip of fear, when it grips you, it will grip our hearts. And why will we be gripped with fear? Because we will fear, why is someone calling us? Why is someone addressing us? Here we are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here we are enjoying the pleasures and the bliss of Jannah. Why is someone calling us? Are we going to be taken out of Jannah? Are we going to lose all of this? Why are we being addressed? Why are we being called? And then the caller will call out again. Ya Ahlal Jannah. Oh, the dwellers of Jannah. Oh, the people of Jannah. And then we will all look towards the caller. And even though we will not be able to witness the caller, it will be said to us that your Lord is seeking an appointment to meet you all. Allahu Akbar. Think about it. Allah is requesting an appointment to meet you, my dear brother. Ya Abdullah, Ya Khalid, Ya Rashid, Ya Zubair. Allah is calling you to meet you. And then we will all be instructed to go towards a particular location, towards a particular valley. And we will all comply. We will all obey. We will all get up. We will be intrigued. Our curiosity will be piqued. And we will make our way towards this valley. We will be amazed. And as we make our way towards this valley, what will happen? Suddenly we will see a light that will shoot across the horizon, covering the east and the west. And then manabir, pulpits made out of light, pulpits made out of gold, pulpits made out of silver, pulpits made out of precious stones, jewels, rubies, pearls will shoot out from the ground everywhere. And these pulpits will be for you, will be for me, for you to sit down on. And once we have all taken our seats, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be brought. And then a light will engulf us, so much to the extent that we will be dazzled. We will be dazzled at times when someone takes a flashlight and flashes it in your eyes, you're dazzled. You start to see black spots. This will be a light that will engulf you. You will be dazzled, and no sooner your vision starts to clear up, you will be gazing in the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be looking at Allah azza wa jal. Allah says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرًا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا نَاظِرًا. On that day there will be faces that will be radiant and bright, faces that will be illuminating like the moon. And those faces will be looking towards Allah. Those faces will be looking at Allah. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us all the opportunity to look at Him. Ameen. We will all be looking at Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah will address each and every one of us. Ya Ahlal Jannah, Salamun Alaykum. Oh, the people of Jannah, may peace be upon all of you. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal addressing us,
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Salamun alaykum. Now what better a reply than for us to say, Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Oh Allah, Allahumma anta as-salam, oh Allah, you are as-salam. Wa minka as-salam, and salam is from you, peace is from you. تَبَارَكْتَ يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. We will glorify Allah, we will exalt Allah, we will extol Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will address us. Where are my slaves? Where are my slaves who used to worship me without even seeing me? إِحْسَان. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Where are my slaves who used to worship me without even seeing me? Allahu Akbar. And then Allah will address us and say, this is the day of increase. هذا يوم المزيد. This is the day of increase. Ask whatever you want and you will be given that. We will all look towards Allah and we will say, Ya Allah, what more can we ask of you? You have brightened our faces. You have brightened our faces. And we are so happy, we are enjoying the bliss and the pleasures of Jannah. What more can we ask of you? And then we will all say, Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Allah Azza wa Jal will look at us and He will say, My slaves, if it were not for my pleasure, you would not find yourself here. The fact that you are here in my Jannah, in paradise, is because I am pleased with you. هذا يوم المزيد. This is the day of increase. Ask whatever you want and I will give it to you. And then at that point, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, in unison, we will all cry out, Ya Allah, arina wajhak. Oh Allah, show us your face. Oh Allah, show us your face. And Allah Azza wa Jal will remove the veils that cover His face, and we will all start to witness and gaze at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be transfixed in our location, and we will forget every single bliss, every single form of bliss, every single pleasure that we experienced in Jannah, for that is the greatest of all pleasures, to witness the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith is in the book of Imam Muslim. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, he states, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ يَخْفِضُ الْقِسْطَ وَيَرْفَعُهُ يُرْفَعُ إِلَيْهِ عَمَلُ اللَّيْلِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ النَّهَارِ وَعَمَلُ النَّهَارِ قَبْلَ عَمَلِ اللَّيْلِ حِجَابُهُ النُّورُ لَوْ كَشَفَهُ لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبْحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْ تَهَى إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Indeed Allah does not sleep, nor does it befit the majesty and the glory of Allah that He should sleep. He raises the scales of things and He lowers them. The deeds of the night go up to Him before the deeds of the day. The deeds of the day go up to Him before the deeds of the night. حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ. The veil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made of light. And if Allah Azza wa Jal were to remove that veil of His, the light of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would dazzle and burn every single thing in the path of the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is hidden from the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that would mean that the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal would burn to ashes. But on that day, my dear brothers in Islam, Allah will that the light of His face should not burn us. And we will be gazing at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And please make note, when we say face, we don't mean a face like our faces. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says He has a face, we affirm that. A face كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ. A face that befits His majesty and His glory. We will be gazing at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that spectacle will be like gazing at the full moon on a night when the moon will be in all its glory. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah is above all these examples. Allahu Akbar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at each and every one of us and He will say, Oh my slave, do you remember this particular sin that you committed? Do you remember this particular sin that you committed? Do you remember this particular sin that you committed? In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that this will be a private conversation between Allah and His slave. And this will be on the day of Qiyamah. There are two narrations. There will be two conversations. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call each slave of His, a slave who was worshipping Him tirelessly. Allah will call him and Allah will place a kanafa, a veil, a covering, a curtain if you will. And this conversation will happen between you and Allah. Allah will say, "Oh my slave, did you not commit this particular sin on this particular day, at this particular time?" Because nothing is hidden from Allah. At times, we fear the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to sin in front of people, but we don't feel ashamed to sin in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are in the privacy of our homes, in our rooms, we don't care. We don't care that Allah is looking. On that day, Allah will address you and Allah will say, "Oh my slave, you committed a sin on this day, at this particular time, do you remember?" And then you will say, "Ya Rab, a'rif, yes, I know my Lord, yes, I know." Allah will say, "Do you remember this sin? Do you remember that sin? Do you remember this sin?" And all the sins that you committed will start to be, you know, be listed down and it will be mentioned one after the other. And you will say, "A'rif, Ya Rab, a'rif, a'rif, I know, I know, I know." And a point will come about where you will feel that you are perished, that you are doomed, that you are destroyed. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will say, "Oh my slave, did I not cover all those sins of yours when you were in dunya?" Allahu Akbar. "Did I not cover all those sins of yours when you were in dunya?" So just as how I covered up all those sins, I will cover them today as well. And your book of deeds will be given to you on your right hand. Allahu Akbar. That is victory. That is success. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were seated, a mother, she comes running. She's looking so sad. She's looking so upset. She's looking for her child. A child that she has lost. Her one and only child. She's looking for her child. She's so upset, she's so sad. And then suddenly she finds her child, she hugs her child, she cradles her child, and she's so relieved. You can see the relief washing over her face. The companions who are observing this spectacle, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he starts to cry, he breaks down and he starts to cry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at the Sahaba and he asks them, "Oh my companions, what is grieving you all? What is the matter?" Then they all went on to say, "It is this scene, the scene of this mother being so relieved, the love of this mother, the care of this mother, that she's hugging her child, has made us cry and weep." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went on to ask them, "Do you think that this mother would throw her child into a blazing fire? Do you think this mother, now that she's found her child, that she would throw her child into a blazing fire?" They all replied, "La ya Rasulullah. She will never ever throw her child into a blazing fire." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say that Allah is more merciful unto His slaves than this mother is towards her child. Allahu Akbar. If we cannot imagine that a mother would throw her child into the fire, then how must we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How must we think of Allah azza wa jal? I mentioned this in the past. Think of it this way. If it was said to you, an example on the day of Qiyamah, that your book of deeds will be given to you by your own mother. If your book of deeds were to be given to you by your own mother, the mother who gave birth to you, your mother is going to give you your book of deeds, each and every one of us. We will be so relaxed. We will be happy because we have so much of confidence in the love of our mothers. We have so much of confidence in the care of our mothers. We know that, you know, whatever I do on the day of Qiyamah, all I have to do is run and hug my mother, and my mother, she will just forgive me. Your mothers, the entire world can be against you. The entire world can say things against you, and they can say, "Your son is like this, your son is like that." What will your mother say? "Leave my son to me, I will handle him." This is what our mothers would say. If we have so much of confidence in the love of our mothers, in the care of our mothers, then we must have so much more confidence in the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the knowledge that we have of the mercy of Allah azza wa jal being many, many more times than the mercy of our mothers. Allahu Akbar. This is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The final facet, very quickly, and then we'll wrap up inshaAllah ta'ala, is in regard to the luminosity of the moon. In regard to the luminosity of the moon. The moon is so radiant and it puts out light, but its light is different to that of the sun. We know that the sun is a huge star that is basically a ball of gases, and it is fueled, or it burns because of a particular gas known as hydrogen, and that's why it's so powerful, it's so bright. But the moon, on the other hand, does not emit its own light, but rather it is a reflection of the light of the sun. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that in the Noble Quran, تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا. Glory be unto the one who placed stars in the heavens. He placed stars in the heavens like fortresses. وجعل فيها سراجا. And glory be unto the one who placed a lamp in the heavens. وقمرا منيرا. And a moon full of luminosity. A radiant moon. The lamp is the sun. Because the lamp uses fuel, in a sense, the sun uses fuel like a lamp does to burn. The sun uses hydrogen and it burns. It is the lamp. وَقَمَرًا مُنِيرًا. And a moon that reflects the light of the sun. Now what's interesting here is that Allah describes the sun as siraja and قَمَرًا مُنِيرًا. And then Allah describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he states in the Noble Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. Allah says that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a caller unto Allah by his permission, and he is Siraj and Munir. He is Siraj and Munira. Allah describes him using these two adjectives. The Rasulullah is like the sun and like the moon. How so? He is like the sun because he radiates light through the fuel given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He radiates light in his own right through the fuel given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is also a moon that reflects the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the light of the heavens and the earth. As he states in the Noble Quran, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reflects the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the teachings of the Quran and through his sunnah, Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, as you can see, these are three tiny facets within a sermon of what, 20 to 25 minutes. But if you were to ponder further, if you were to contemplate further, there are many, many, many lessons to be deduced from every single creation around you. All you have to do is ponder. All you have to do is reflect. All you have to do is contemplate, and you will start to deduce the lessons insha'Allah ta'ala. And this is important. Like I said at the very beginning, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. There are signs for the people of intellect. So it is important that we deduce these signs. We deduce lessons, thereby getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jalla open the doors of good understanding for all of us. May He make us of those who have sound intellect. And may He help us to deduce lessons from the signs that we see around us. May He not make us, may He keep us safe from being oblivious of the signs that we see around us. May He help us to get closer to Him. May He help us to emulate the most beloved of all creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May He forgive our sins. May He accept our good deeds. And just as how He unites us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.